point. And I have to think, after the first 4 days, they were riding a spiritual high. They were ready. They were in their element, and this was their king, ready to bring in his kingdom. And I know that as they approach Wednesday, and as they approach Wednesday night, they must have been thinking, this is our time. What could possibly go wrong? They were to be leaders. They were to be soldiers. They were to fight in the eternal army. They were armed, or they were carrying the swords. Two. One is enough. But they were ready. Their humble king had approached the city in great fanfare to the screams and the joys of the crowd. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! And they were to be leaders with him, because their king was making changes. And he had drained the swamp, kicked out the money changers, and was ready to do what needed to be done. It was going to be a good week. What a difference a single hour makes. Four is a good number, but not for everywhere. 4 days doesn't seem like a lot. But you know, in China, four is bad. Four is unlucky, because it sounds like death. So from what went from 4 days to three, ultimately went from good to bad. And all hope was going to be seen lost, at least in that moment. Thursday, April 2nd, 33 AD. Jesus still has a plan. He still has work to do. He is not yet ready to go to Calvary. As he approaches that final hour, as he approaches the supper, he gives them a final gift, a command to love one another just as he loved them, and that they take that love and show it to the rest of the world. And that love is not someone who loves from on high, but someone who loves from the bottom. And as such, he demonstrated that love by washing their feet. Can you imagine that if your boss came up to you and said, "I want to wash your feet"? Well, that would be awkward in any case. But in this one, it was the only person who had no business washing their feet. But this was his kingdom. This was his way. And he says, if you want to be first, you have to be last. And as I go from here, as I leave this material plane, I want you to understand all that I have taught you. And I want you to remember me. 2,000 years later, we are still honoring this gift. We did it 10 minutes ago as we focused on what Christ did for us, or is about to do in this moment. But what I've learned about the gospel story is the disciples approached this moment, they were not ready. Jesus says, "I must die." And Jesus, "And you will flee." Peter, "No, I will not do it. No matter what happens, I will stay by you, Lord." It's not what it's going to be, Peter. In fact, I tell you, truly, that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Impossible. How could you say this of me? I have committed myself to you. I am ready. We'll see. The supper ends. They go forward. A final gift turns into a final prayer, where they march on to Gethsemane. And Jesus tells them, "Please sit here and wait while I pray." And I love this story. I could do a whole sermon alone on this story, where Jesus goes to the Father, and we see both the fully human and the fully divine asking that if it is possible what is about to happen, that they may not take place. But how did Jesus teach us to pray? Jesus is still teaching us in His moments, in His final act on this earth. Not my will, but yours. God, make what happens next be what you have planned. But still, the disciples couldn't even do the simplest task of staying awake. I tell my children, clean your room, feed your fish, take out the trash, and I tell them 600 times. And if I told them to stay awake with me while I prayed, I'm pretty sure they would fall asleep. And this is exactly what he did. They did. So he went to them after the first time, and he said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me 1 hour, just one. I know you were tired. I know you were sleepy. But this is important." And in that moment, he wanted them to be there with him. And they were not ready. Twice he wakes them. At the third time, he leaves, realizing, probably, that it was futile. But they might not have been ready. He was. He goes and he says, "My accuser is here." Met with a kiss. The kindest act I think one person can give to another. And in this moment, a kiss destroys everything. "It's time, our time is now. The army is here. Let us go as soldiers and defend our king." No, Peter. That time is not now. That time is not to come. You will do what I told you to do. So Jesus rebukes. Jesus heals. And Jesus allows himself to be taken. They weren't ready. What did they do? They fled. They left him. When you're scared and you're frightened, you can freeze. You can fight. Jesus has already taken that away from them. Or you can flee. So they reverted to the most basic instincts in that moment. They allowed their sin to overcome them and to cower away, leaving Jesus alone to his captors. From good week to bad. Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD. A day of trials and trials, where Jesus is marched before Annas, marched before Caiaphas, marched before the Sanhedrin, where people would accuse him of false crimes, of saying things he never said, of striking him, of beating him, of mocking him, of treating him as a worthless person. All for the purpose of expediting his death. They had already decided the outcome of the trial before the trial even happened. And what did Jesus do? He stood there and took all of it, mostly in silence, except to answer one charge of saying, "It is what you say." But Simon Peter was still not ready to give up. And in that moment, he went and followed Jesus as a coward, first running away, deciding maybe he still had something in him, where he approaches and watches from the courtyard, where a servant girl asks him, "Aren't you the one that was with that Galilean?" "No, that's not me. You must be thinking of someone else." I am sure that you were that person." "No, it wasn't. It must have been you. I swear I do not know the man." And as soon as he said those words, he saw Jesus across the courtyard and the rooster crowed. And he remembered the words that Jesus had spoken to him hours before. The same words that he denied would never happen in the first place didn't even make it a full day. And in his shame, he went out and wept bitterly. But this isn't the end for Jesus, because the trials are to continue. They have found him guilty, and the only crime guilty of the crime that they have decided, the only punishment guilty of the crime that they have decided must be death. But the Jews have no power to kill, so they sent them to the Romans. They sent him before Pilate, again giving their false accusations. And Pilate looked at him and found him and heard their charges and thought them to be frivolous. And said, I see nothing wrong with this man. We don't care. We want him dead. And you know what happens if you don't give us what we want. They would riot. And that was Pilate's greatest fear. But then he learned he was a Galilean, so send him to Herod. Let Herod pass judgment on him. And Herod, we knew, wanted to meet Jesus. Herod had sought to meet him earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, since he had first heard about this man. And he questioned him, but Jesus, in that moment, still remained silent. So he sent him back to Pilate, who still found him innocent. Nothing guilty of the crime that they were accusing him of. And so he tried vainly to help him. He says, your holiday demands that I give you a prisoner. Would you like this criminal, or would you like this man that has done no crime? Give us the criminal. Why? He has done nothing wrong. We don't care. We will take on this burden. It will be on us and our children. So he had him mocked. He had him beat. He had him whipped. Not the 40 minus 1, the nice tame whipping that the Jews would do. He gave him the awful Roman beating that probably tore up his flesh with metal and glass and leather whips before leading him to the crucifixion. And I hear the crucifixion in my mind. And in my mind, it is like nails on a chalkboard. I can't watch it. I can't visualize it because it hurts me so much to know what he had to go through, all so I get to go to heaven. This person that is full of sin and full of shame and a coward in all the same ways the disciples were. But the same man that died on the cross is the same man who cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God had to forsake him all for us. 3 hours is all it took. And in that final moment, Jesus breathes his last breath and says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was ready. He is ready when we are not. He is brave when we are cowards. He is good when we are full of sin. And the heavens cried out in this moment. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two. There was an earthquake. The rock split. The saints were raised. And the centurion, this man who had no business being where he was, looked up in Saul, this innocent man, and said, truly, he is the Son of God. And for 2,000 years, we have blamed the Jews. Today, we are still blaming the Jews for this incident. But it's not their fault. For us, the same people that last week sang, Hosanna in the highest, are the same people that cry out, crucify him, every time we sin. Every time we say, we're going to change, but we don't. We nail him back to that cross. And for me, that's that nails on a chalkboard. Saturday, April 4th, 33 AD. Can't imagine Saturday. I've tried many, many times, and this is the best I can come up with. What is death? What is life after someone you love died? What is hope when everything seems lost? It consumes your heart and your soul, and all it feels like is blackness. It feels like it's going to be a bad week. But the Jews couldn't do anything. Sorry, the disciples couldn't do anything. Those who loved him couldn't do anything because they had to wait for Sunday. You know what I know about all this? Is the night is always darkest just before the dawn. Because on Sunday, the tomb is rolled back and Jesus is raised from the dead. And in that moment, faith is renewed, hope is given, fear is cast aside, and we know that love never failed. It's going to be a very good week. Are you ready for it? Because he is. We no longer have to seek the living among the dead, for he is not here. He has risen. And in his resurrection, we praise the words that Luke spoke in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Are you ready? We would love to help. If you need us or you need him, please come forward as Ian leads us in song.